that our Father has good plans today. No matter if we're wandering through the desert, thirsty and struggling, do we know He has good plans? If we're sitting in the gardens and basking in the rays of the sun, do we know that He has good plans? Do we know? All right. You guys can have a seat. Amen. All right, so to me, that is a mountaintop moment. And we have mountaintop moments all through our lives. In our careers, we have these mountaintop moments, whether we go to a conference and get some new insights and some new ways to handle things. We want to come back and be the best that we can be at our careers, or a raise, a pay raise, or a promotion. Those mountaintop moments where we feel like, all right, we're going somewhere now. Our spiritual walk is the same. We have these mountaintop moments. We go to these conferences and these retreats. I used to go to this place called Hume. We used to go to it in California, and it is beautiful. It's in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and it is this lake surrounded by all of these mountains. There's no cell service that gets in. And so you are literally up there, and the whole place is designed to get you to the feet of God, night after night after night, morning after morning. And you come back, no matter what that retreat is, if it's a men's retreat, you come back just knowing, I'm gonna be the best father in the world, the best husband. The marriage retreats, same thing. Oh, this, we've got this bond now that we've never had before. These are the mountaintop moments. Sundays, from time to time, they should be those mountaintop moments. But what happens when life goes back to normal? When you get back into your job and weeks go by and that promotion isn't everything that you thought it would be? Or you come back from the retreat and that spiritual high starts to get chipped away by the struggles and the bills and all of those pressures that life can bring onto us? What happens then? And we see that unfold in Mark chapter 6. That's where we're going to be out at today, if you want to open your Bibles up and get ready there. But we see that. See, Jesus sends the disciples out. They've been with Him for a little bit and learning and watching and seeing everything that He's done, all the miracles and everything else. And Jesus goes, okay, now you guys, you're going to go out. You're going to perform the miracles. You're going to heal the sick. You are going to cast out the demons. You are going to bring the good news, and you need nothing else but to fully rely on Me. And that's what they do. In fact, when He sends them out, He tells them, you can't take a change of clothes. No money. No bag. Nothing. It is you and your relationship with Me. You are going to go out and you are going to do these things because I am with you, even as you go out. And they do. They go out and they cast out demons and they perform the miracles and they bring the good news and people are healed, their lives are changed, they turn away from their sin and they start walking on a new path with God, and things just are incredible for the disciples. And then they come back and they're so excited and they lay everything out for Jesus. All the miracles, all the people that were against them and how they overcame it, and just step by step, everything that happened on their journey. And because all they have done, and see, when they got back with Jesus, the people that are attracted, the people that need Jesus, that doesn't stop. So during this time, these people are still pressing in. They're coming and going. They're getting healed from Jesus. It's just constant pressure. And so Jesus, He tells them, we're going to go away, just us. And we're going to find rest. And we're going to recuperate because of what you guys have done. And so this is where the story picks up. It's again Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. So they get in the boat. So they left by boat for a quiet place. where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. These people were so desperate for Jesus and for what he offered that they were literally, see, the disciples got in a boat because that was an easy way to travel. They could sit back, let the wind take them across to the other side, and they would get to where they were going and continue their day of rest. But the people, they were so desperate for what Jesus was offering, the healings, the crud in their life that they just wanted freedom, that they literally ran down the shoreline next to them, all the way to where they were going to land. Verse 34 says this, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And he had compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And this compassion, when you go back to the original language, when you go back to the Greek, it's not just compassion, it is anguish. They thought that all of the emotions came from, you know, this area, the guts of a human. And so literally it is a burning sensation in the guts of Jesus is the way they explain it. And to us, it could be more easily explained as heart sick. A distressed feeling. Jesus was heart sick for these people and what they needed. They're all the people that were lost and the burdens that they carried, and they were literally wandering, running through the wilderness to get to him. Just to see a glimpse of hope. Just to see what this man could do for their lives. And Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. And that's the way he sees us. That's the way he sees every person that is created in his image. He has compassion for whatever we're going through, whatever life is bringing us, whatever sin that we've stepped in, whatever is holding us down. He sees us and he has this anguish for us to want to be back in relationship with us. And if you don't know Jesus, and this is a side, if you don't know him and you want to know him, you want to know this man who lists all these burdens for your life, I'll be right here at the end of service. I'll be right here. So let's get back to it. For Jesus and the disciples, the moment to escape and rest, it becomes interrupted. Their plans are gone. Everything's changed. And verse 35 says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Something happened for the disciples between that mountaintop moment and now, with all of these people forcing in, wanting a piece of Jesus, wanting life change. Something happened in that moment. Maybe the change, maybe they never understood what that assignment was about to begin with. We can never know, but they do not see these people the way that Jesus saw them. In fact, when they're out on their mission and they're going through, just imagine the first demon that they cast out. Imagine the first healing of a leper, and they literally get to see the molecules rearrange on someone's skin as it becomes clear and healthy again. And then you come to this moment, and these people are in front of you, and the only thing you want to do is move them on. They no longer saw these people the way that Jesus did, but in a way that only Jesus can, to the point convicting Jesus in verse 7. But Jesus said, "You feed them. You feed them." You've seen everything that can happen. You've watched what you can do in my name. You feed them with what they asked. We would have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all of these people. And the excuses, they come. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. It's late. They still have to get home. Don't you remember the stories we just told you? We already did our part for people. I'm tired. This wasn't in the plans. We're supposed to be resting right now. The game is on. I'm walking through the grocery store and I see someone that needs some help. But I'm not gonna go over there. I just wanna get in and out, and they may want to talk. Don't laugh at an introvert. Don't judge me. Seriously, we all have our reasons why we're not ready to follow through, to obey. Jesus, it all comes down to this. Jesus, we don't have the ability to make this happen. Verse 38, Jesus says, "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what do you have? What can you offer the people in this moment? What can you be ready to give up in this moment? Have you been paying attention? I have done way more than less than what we have right now. With Jesus, what we have is enough. Because we don't provide the miracle. All we can provide is obedience. The miracle works through his hands, not ours. 39, then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And when you read through scripture, sometimes there's little things that catches your attention. And I'm telling you, like, there is no accidents from the biblical writers. As they record and tell us exactly what happened, there is no reason to put green grass. They could just put a grass. They sat down in the grass. Unless there is a reason to put that in there. And it's supposed to trigger your mind to Psalms. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What he's saying in this moment is, it went from him calling them sheep without a shepherd to now I am their shepherd. These people are mine. And that's how you are to view them as well. These people are mine. You feed them. The language of sit down, that the Greek that's used there is only ever used in a banquet setting. A reclined, relaxed celebration is what this is used. So not only are these my sheep, they are going to celebrate in this moment. They are coming into my presence and we are going to have a party. They're going to relax. They're going to be honored guests. And now their lives are changed because they are mine. And we are going to celebrate this very moment. These people are important to me. You are my follower. They are important to you. Do we see people in that way? Everyone we come across, they are important to Jesus. Are they important to me? Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards the heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share with Jesus. What we have is enough because we do not provide the miracle. All we can provide is obedience. The miracle happens in Jesus' hands as he breaks a piece and he passes it and he breaks a piece. It's miracle after miracle after miracle. Jesus handles the miracle, but that miracle then passes through the disciples. It's handed to them and they deliver the miracle that Jesus just created. With Jesus, what we have is enough because we don't provide the miracle. All we can do is provide the obedience. And finally, in this moment, the disciples are providing the obedience. They all ate as much as they wanted. Verse 42. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. And when we see the story, it is always 5,000 were fed. 5,000, no, it's 10,000, 15,000. Who knows how many, because it adds, that's how they counted back then. It was just the men. We don't know how many people were there. Tens of thousands of people. Jesus provided the miracle for tens and thousands of people, and not only that, it came back with such abundance because that's what he offers us. He offers his people a state of abundance in our lives, not making life easy, but he gives us all we need and more. The disciples were finally ready to obey. So what is our roadblock? What are those things in our way when Jesus starts calling, when he starts directing, when he puts something in our path? For most of us, it's waiting until we feel ready. Ready enough, spiritual enough, confident enough. The disciples were not ready. Each and every time, the disciples were not ready. They were overwhelmed. They were tired. They were exhausted. They didn't know what to do. Jesus never asked them to be able. He simply asked them to be available in those moments. And again, the miracle was never in their hands. The miracles in life are never in our hands, never created by us. So we need to take that pressure off ourselves. We need to stop believing that everything relies on us because it doesn't. It's Jesus that's doing it. We're just part of it. We're just there. We're just obedient. And we got to take away the pressure, this idea that these moments in life have to be big and grandiose. No one's asking you to go down to the soup kitchen telling everybody to stand back and give me 5 loaves and look what I can do. No one's asking for that. 99% of us will never do this huge, big thing. But the kingdom of God is built on everyday life. Not the big miracles. You feed them by being obedient to Jesus and acting in the moments that unfold in front of you in life, acting in the promptings in which he gives you, and you just move forward. Not understanding how, not thinking that you're going to figure it out, you just move forward. A couple weeks ago, friend Isaac. They're sitting right here in this row, first service. Group of teens that he takes care of for his work. All he knew is God was calling them to get them here, to do whatever it took to get them in this room. And 2 weeks ago, his obedience was rewarded by watching the miracle of two of them get baptized. Just because he's obedient, God blessed it. I got to explain this right, because apparently I made people think Dustin was dead last service. So, Dustin's not dead. He's alive. He's probably not well right now, but he will be well soon. We had a funeral yesterday. Celebrate the life of Peg. And Dustin doesn't die, but he goes down. Dustin is the one that knows everything about our tech. If there's anyone impossible as of right now to replace, it's Dustin. And so as Christy and I are working through, okay, how do we make this happen? The media comes in, it's all in the wrong format. Luckily, Dustin was able to feel good enough to get away to reformat things. But I can handle a lot back there. What I can't handle is what happens in that switcher stuff. I have no clue. And this family wanted their loved ones that couldn't make it to have the opportunity to watch the service via stream. And we're looking at that moment, and me and Christy are going, oh, I don't know. So she sends out a text to all the people that run that stream, and seconds go by. And Josh Hobmeyer, I'm there. I've got it. And he shows up Saturday morning, not because it's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to give up his Saturday morning, his days off with his kids, just to come press some buttons on a screen. But he does it because he's being obedient to the giftings he's been given, and he's ready to come through for people. Whatever God asks, he's ready, and he was ready yesterday. And so we look like we'd had everything under control yesterday, just because Josh showed up. So what is your "you feed them" moment that Jesus is telling you? The person in the crowd whose life is yet to be changed by Jesus, you feed them. Your coworkers, students, your neighbors, the lonely person down the street that has nobody and just needs somebody to talk to. Somebody to point them to their Creator. Someone that can do the miracle and handle life and take away all the anxieties and the fear and everything that they're dealing with that they thought they would never get rid of. You feed them. By being the presence of Jesus everywhere you go. By bringing that light that is unmistakable. One of the things we have to realize in this moment, and it gets hard because we all show up here on Sunday, we sit shoulder to shoulder, and we are a part of a crowd. But we are not the crowds. We are the disciples in this story. If we believe that our existence as a Christian is coming here Sunday after Sunday, watching some words go by on the screen and listening to a message, and then I'm good for the week, I can head back out, my Jesus time is good, we're failing. Because that's not our existence. That's what the crowds do. The disciples leave this place and they are ready to be obedient in those times where Jesus is prompting. The greatest, oh, here's a quote by a guy named Dallas Willard. The greatest issue facing the world today is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples. I read that in my studies this week and it hit me. Oh, man. I'll read it again, just in case you guys didn't get it. The greatest issue facing the world today is whether those who identify as Christians, whether those who put his name in front of ours will become disciples, whether they will get out of their seats from Sunday mornings and they will go out to the world and they will handle his kingdom. They will build his kingdom. They will push forward. They will do everything that he is calling them to do, not because it's on them, not because they are capable, but because they are obedient and ready. Because with Jesus, what we have is enough. Because we don't provide the miracle, all we can provide is the obedience. And right now, with the breaking of bread and that kind of tie, we're going to have communion together. Before we go out to the world and we're ready to be obedient and go wherever his nudgings may lead us, we're going to have communion together. So, we're going to worship. The worship band's going to lead us through it. And in this moment, you guys are going to come forward. There's three stations up here. There's gluten-free over on this side. Two more in the back so you guys can get through. Grab your elements, come back to your seat, and then it's time to pray. It's time to worship and pray. God, where am I missing where you're calling to me? Where around me am I supposed to be feeding somebody and I'm just not ready or I'm not obedient or I'm not really in the place where I want to? Where is that place in my life that you are calling me to? So right now, like I said, we're going to worship. We're going to worship a creator who has taken care of it all. Grab our elements and be ready for communion. Let's worship.